I'll read in English, and then Tamara will come up here to read in Japanese. No? Oh. Misinterpreting things. Okay, this is Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 to 6. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone, and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches.
ガラテヤ人への手紙6章1節から6節までお読みします。兄弟たちよ、もし誰かが過ちに陥ったなら、御霊の人であるあなた方は柔和な心でその人を正してあげなさい。また自分自身も誘惑に陥らないように気をつけなさい。互いの思いを追い合い、そのようにしてキリストの律法を全うしなさい。誰でも立派でもない自分を何か立派でもあるかのように思うなら、自分を欺いているのです。おのおの自分の行いをよく調べてみなさい。そうすれば誇れると思ったことも、ただ自分だけの誇りで他の人に対して誇れることではないでしょう。人にはおのおの追うべき自分自身の重荷があるのです。御言葉を教えられる人は教える人とすべての良いものを分け合いなさい。
Good morning. Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much again for your greatness, your faithfulness, your loving kindness. Lord, we acknowledge that you deserve all of our praise, worship. You are worthy to be praised and worshiped. We come before you, Lord, to seek your face. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would convict hearts, and you would inspire us and move us, Lord, with the Holy Spirit. We invite a greater measure of your presence in our hearts, minds, body, spirit, and soul. That you would reign, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How are you guys doing? You guys doing okay? Doing good? Good, good. Today, we're going to install our new members. And Phil, whenever he hears install, he thinks of air conditioning. So it's like an air conditioning installation for you new members. Make us cooler. Sorry. But we've been going through Galatians. And again, as we go through the book, letter of Galatians, I do encourage each and every one of you to do your own study. The letter is to a group of believers that were infiltrated, intentionally infiltrated by false believers who came in to distort the gospel. And so the question that we continually have to ask us is, are we living the gospel as it's presented to us through Scripture? We can't just make this up, right? It's not whatever I think is good goes. It's not whatever the pastor says goes. Although I do try my best to present the gospel as it's presented to us through Scripture. I'm just human. I'll make mistakes. other believers, other teachers, they're just human too. They'll make mistakes. They'll say something, and they might say something wrong, and that might stick to us and be a part of us for a long time even. Just because a teacher of ours who we admire, adore, learn from, says something wrong. And that happens all the time. It'll happen to everyone at one point or time. Me included. Something I say that's wrong may stick with you for a long time. So how do we prevent that from happening? We continue to go back to the original source. It's documented here. What we're supposed to believe is in here, and that's how we're supposed to live in relation to Him, our relationship to Him. But as we continue our studies, we're in chapter 6, the last chapter. We'll take a couple weeks to finish this chapter, but let me read the first verse in chapter 6. This is, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore the person gently, but watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." It's important to realize when we're born again, that's there's a similarity to being born in the natural. In that, there's a progression. There's a growth process. When you're born again, you're a baby Christian, and that's biblical. Baby Christian needs milk. But as you progress, and as you mature, then the Bible talks about being fed the meat, or meat of the word. But there's a progression. When we're born again the first time, or when we're born again in the Spirit, as a new Christian, it's probably likely you'll make a lot of mistakes. How many of you were born again later in life? Oh, that's quite a few, later in life. I was born again later in life myself. I grew up in a typical Japanese family, Shinto/Buddhist, culturally. Not religiously. I didn't go to a lot of temples or anything like that. We did have like a, what's called a butsudan, is that what it's called? Something to honor my grandfather with. I do remember praying in front of that thing, especially right before an important basketball game. I'll go before the butsudan and I'll pray. That was my religion. Pretty much basketball was my religion, and so I was asking my grandfather, I don't know, maybe he pushed in some shots for me it doesn't work that way. But being born again, I was born again later in life. Second semester of my first year in college. And it was wonderful. But I gotta say, I made a lot of mistakes when I was a young Christian. A lot of mistakes. Not intentionally, it's just when you're a baby Christian, you just make a lot of mistakes. But it's important to realize that when you're born again, you can be caught in sin. One of the ugliest traits a believer can have is think they're perfect. It's a misunderstanding of being justified. God has justified each and every one of us. Justified means just as I have never sinned. And because we're justified, we are righteous as Christians. However, we can still have sinful attitude, behaviors, and traits. And the description is being caught in sin, being ensnared in sin. To think that as a Christian, I can now no longer sin is a mistake. And to have the attitude of I'm perfect is a very prideful and arrogant attitude to have. And the danger is God opposes the proud. that's mentioned several times in Scripture. At least two, most likely three, and there's allusions to it all over the place. God hates pride. He opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Amen. I've said this before, and I've heard it said. It's better to have the whole horde of hell against you than to have God against you. To be in pride is to set yourself up to have God oppose you, so we can all be caught in sin. It says, if someone is caught in sin and is talking to the congregation, to the believers, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. In correcting someone, it's important that we don't fall into becoming prideful, right? Because just as ugly as it is to think that I can't sin is another ugly trait of being able to point out everyone else's sin, except for your own sin. As a new Christian, I think that's one of the things that, you know, really turned people off in my life. I'm fortunate that a lot of my close friends still remain close friends, even though I was acting in arrogance and pride and saying, hey, you know, that's wrong, kind of thing. Not that we can't, again, here, not that we can't point out when something is wrong. It's clear that when someone's condescending, it's clear that we should point it out. But we should do it in what? In love. In a spirit of humility. In realizing that when I correct, that I'm in danger of falling into the same thing they're in. Maybe not the same kind of sin they're in, but the same spirit of sin that's operating in their life. It's a spirit. The manifestation of sin is simply a byproduct of a deeper sin issue. Does that make sense? You guys want to know some of my some of my mistakes growing up as a Christian?
No.
Sure.
No, yes, no, sure, come on.
Yes.
I mean, how much time do we have, right? Exactly. You know, Kazuya already pointed out that I'm not holy. I walk into her Bible study and she says, he's not holy. And I'm like, what do I do? I don't know. I am holy by the blood of Christ. We are all justified. Amen?
Yes.
Justification cannot be earned. You are justified. However, there's sinful behavior we need to work out. Early on, I felt I was a mature Christian. This was maybe, I won't tell you when it was. It was a long time ago. I don't remember. I can't do the math in my head. My math has gone out the window for some reason. Anyways, there was a friend of mine who was in sin, and I'll just leave out the details. And I said, hey, you shouldn't be doing that sin, you know? And it was weird. That person said, you're right, I shouldn't be doing that sin. That is kind of sinful. And that person stopped. She stopped doing what she was doing. And then, the following week, or very soon after, I fell into the same thing. I mean, I don't know what happened. I was so adamant in pointing that out. And that person actually repented in humility, said, you're right, I'm stopping. And that person stopped. And then me, I went on and did the same thing. Fill in the blank, whatever you want to do, the most horrendous sin you could think of. Because, you know, it's sin is sin. And it says this, it's biblical. Watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Watch yourself. However, carry each other's burden, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. That's one of the most important aspects if we're going to fulfill the law of Christ, is to realize that sin isn't cute. Sin is not cute. That will completely destroy the fabric of your life, of our life, of the church. However, it's important in love, in humility, to carry this out, to carry this together. Jesus taught, you know, if you're going to point something out in someone else's eyes, make sure you don't have a big log in your own eye. Moving on to verses 3, 4, and 5. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions, that they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Each one should carry their own load. That kind of seems contradictory to what was just said in verse 2. But I believe that's just an indication that you will be held responsible for your action. It's just a reminder. You will eventually be responsible for your actions, behaviors, attitude. But verse 3, if anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Again, I just want to point out the good news consists of the free gift of justification. Free gift. Cannot earn it. Sort of like we cannot work our way into being born the first time, right? Like no one says, I want to be born, and they're born. You know, it just happens. That's a free gift. I'm going to talk about, though, after you're born, how to live your life. But the free gift is justification. But this justification does not include, again, that every action I do is justifiable. Just because I am justified doesn't mean every act I do is just. That's important. It says test yourself. Test your action. Test your behaviors. Test your attitude. Have you tested yourself lately? Most of us, we run from tests, right? Well, we don't like tests. We have some of the hardest test givers in here, in this room right now. Just kidding. Just kidding. But nobody likes going through a hard test. Many of you students may have just gone through a hard test. You don't go to the teacher and say, hey, could you make this a little harder? Some of you might, I don't know. Some of you are pretty smart, so. This is too easy for me. How do you test yourself? And have you tested yourself lately? What do you measure yourself with when you're testing yourself? What are you measuring it with? It says, don't measure yourself with other people. Don't compare yourself with someone else. When we measure ourselves with someone else, we can always say, hey, look, I'm okay. I'm all right. Especially if you're measuring yourself with the measuring stick this world has given us. I believe in context here, there were people who thought they were more than what God called them to be. They were trying to go around masquerading as apostles and changing the message of the gospel. That's what people were doing in Galatians. But if they were to have simply tested themselves, they would have realized we do not carry the apostolic mantle. Now, how would they have known they didn't carry the apostolic mantle? It wasn't by comparing themselves to Paul. There's a list in Scripture where it talks about what an apostle should do. And here it is. How do we test ourselves? Not by what other people are doing. We test ourselves with what the Spirit is saying through what the Spirit has already written. Two important aspects. What is written, and whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit is saying. Knowing both is essential to knowing where you are in that test. Knowing what is written and what is the Spirit saying. Having that balance is important. If you're just going simply by what the Spirit is saying, you will be deceived. If that's all you're going with, you'll be deceived. If you're only going by what the letter of the law is saying, you will be deceived. Both needs to work in unison. The Spirit speaking through the Scripture, and the Scripture making sure you're in the Spirit. Because there are other spirits that will speak to you. There are other spirits that will try to move you.
Right.
Test the Spirit. Moving on, it says, nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. One of the most important things that God judges, I believe, is our resources. And to a certain degree, He judges our power, our authority. How we use that towards others and how we respond to it when others express it towards us. How do we treat those in authority over us, God will judge, and how as authority we treat those under us, God will judge. Now, in this life, you're going to be in a spectrum, right? Sometimes you're in authority, and you're going to be judged by how you treat those under you, under your authority. And sometimes you're under authority, and you'll be treated by how you treat those over you in authority. And here the Lord says, here the Scripture says, nevertheless, the one who receives instruction, so those who are under, should share all good things with their instructor. So it's a mutual kind of thing going on. And how you are responding to that, God will judge. One of the most severe things that God will judge. Especially within the church, I believe. The culture of heaven that should be mirrored in the church should be the culture of honor. We honor those above us, and we show honor to those below us. You know, the Japanese culture, it does a great job, I believe. Better than most culture, in terms of honoring. Although, the way Japanese people, we express when we don't like something, that, you know, that needs work on. Every culture is sacred. Let me just say, every culture is sacred. It's interesting. If you look at the Bible, Paul talks about certain culture. And it's in Scripture. Every culture is sacred, but it's fallen too. There is a sacredness in every culture, but then there's the fallenness in every culture. And we need to realize what is sacred and important, what has fallen and needs to be corrected. Anyways. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the Word should share all good things with their instructor. I believe that's an important aspect of honor. Even though there were false teachers and false teachings, the way they treated those above them was important. You either figure out, are they false teachers and get them out, or are they just false teachings and honor them in that way. They should share all good things with their instructors. It's kind of self-serving. I'm the pastor here, and so this is a good place to say, you need to share all your good things with me. put in that seed money. No, but you know, it's important to share good things with those above you. Not just in church. Children with parents, parents with children. With that, I'd like to transition into bringing in new members to this church. If